Hi and welcome back. Today I am super excited to be joined by Stig Brodersen of the We Study Billionaires podcast. Their podcast has over 30 million downloads, it ranks number one for investment podcasts, and their TIP community has a huge following across the globe. Stig lives in Denmark and his co-host Preston lives in the US. However, their entire production team is based here in the Philippines, which makes me really proud that such a high-caliber podcast is not only being produced, but pretty much run from here in the Philippines. So Stig is here in Manila, visiting his team and holding a few meetups with their TIP community. I took this opportunity to explore his thoughts on Philippines outsourcing and for Stig to share some of his own experiences with outsourcing for his burgeoning media empire. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/263. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the leading global B2B payment solution for the outsourcing industry. If you're a BPO or freelancer or have outsourced staffing, then Payoneer makes sending and receiving international payments super simple, quick, secure, and of course, low cost. They have some fantastic features which have been designed specifically for the needs of this industry. You can easily manage payments between your clients, staff and suppliers across multiple currencies and international bank accounts. Payoneer help make outsourcing easy, so consider them now. And if your BPO, clients or suppliers aren't already using Payoneer, then ask them why not. For a limited time, Payoneer is offering a $50 bonus if you sign up now. So go to register.payoneer.com/OA or go to our website and we will have links there. Hi and welcome everybody. Today I am joined by Stig Brodersen. Stig holds a master's degree in finance. He's studied business analysis at Harvard University and is a former college professor. Before Stig took up stock investing, he worked for one of Europe's leading energy companies, trading companies. Now Stig is living out his dream of creating educational finance content for the Investors Podcast or TIP community and running the investment company Stig Brodersen Holding. The Investors Podcast or TIP provides valuable resources for stock investing, business management, and more. TIP's main show, which of course I'm a huge fan of, is We Study Billionaires. It has more than 30 million downloads and has consistently ranked number one in stock investing podcast lists. Stig is almost podcast royalty, so I'm super excited not only to have him here on the Outsource Accelerator podcast, but also here in Manila, Philippines. I've got him on the show so that amongst other things, we can find out what Stig is doing here in Manila. Spoiler alert, it has something to do with outsourcing. So Stig Brodersen, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me here, Derek. I mean, being called a podcast royalty, it doesn't get any better than that. So I don't think that's necessarily true, but thank you for having me.
No, and it's an absolute pleasure. And, you know, I'm an immigrant here to the Philippines and I just get super excited to see, you know, more and more of the world's attention being brought to the Philippines. So I'm very happy to welcome you here and have you on the podcast. Initially, you know, it'd be good to get a little bit of background from you about what you do and you know, the business aspect of the podcast. For your podcast, you've spoken to many of the world's preeminent investors, fund managers, and billionaires. So I want to bring this down a notch. As an introduction, for the non-investors amongst us, what is value investing in relation to standard investing principles?
Yeah, the principle of value investing is actually pretty simple. It has the leading principle that you need to figure out before you invest in something, what is the true value of that, typically referred to as the intrinsic value. So if you have a stock and it's trading at $60, but you know that, well, at least based on your assumptions, that the intrinsic value is $100, well, then it might be a good time to buy into that stock. So it's not so much about one stock is being good and another stock is being bad. It's all about comparing the price, so basically what's trading at right now, and then the value. What is it really worth?
Fantastic. And I heard on a recent podcast of We Study Billionaires that you were saying that you seek, you know, fundamentally out the best value, yet the markets that you're most familiar with, the US, Denmark, and also the Irish markets, they're currently very overvalued. Do you have any sense of the value proposition of the Philippine stock market and how that might compare, and obvious with, you know, an obvious aspect there being an emerging market?
Yeah, so if you look at the valuation for someone like the Philippines, it's sort of like in the middle of the pack. So we have a lot of different stock markets. We have some that are more expensive than others. And when we talk about valuation of a stock market, we're basically asking how much money can we expect to get back, and how, and what should we pay for that? And in the Philippines, it's typically priced, or right now it's priced around 6 or 7% return. That's sort of what we can expect over the long run, given the price level that we add. But obviously that's not a, that's an annualized return, and it fluctuates wildly. So there are no stock markets that just go up, say, 6 or 7% every single year. It might go up 30% this year, crash 50% next year. It's more like whenever you look at the stock market, that's probably what we can expect given the market conditions right now.
Right. And just from a layman perspective, the higher risk obviously equals higher return because of that risk proposition. How does value investing price in the risk components and components of emerging market risk?
So I would like to challenge that notion that higher risk is also, you know, higher reward. Like, if I would say that the highest risk that you can incur is paying too much for an asset. So, you know, let me give you an example, like of a house. Say the value of that house is worth, you know, $1 million, and you have to pay $10 to acquire that. There's not a lot of risk attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about, you know, whenever you're talking about risk, it's all about the risk of losing your principal. And if there's, if it's the asset is, you know, worth, call it $100, and it's trading around $30, the risk profile of that is probably very low. So that's kind of like how we look at risk.
Fantastic. Thank you. And so I'm slightly out of the woods in terms of the deep investment questions, which I'm happy about. But Stig, you are here in the Philippines. We're sitting in Manila, the capital of the Philippines. And as a bit of a spoiler, you have staffing here. And so what is it about the Philippines, though? There's another 190 countries in the world. What has brought you here for your staffing needs?
You know, it's. I would like to say I had a grand plan, or, you know, everything was just planned out from the very beginning. I used a fancy business model to figure out that the Philippines was the best country, but that was not how it started at all. It was really just a coincidence, and that coincidence was really, I'm born and raised in Denmark. My wife got a job temporary for a year and then two teaching finance in Seoul, South Korea, and I went there with her, and because I, being a podcaster, I can go anywhere. So. And I was looking for someone to help me with, you know, everyday life. I do not speak Korean, so I was very challenged in terms of getting around. And I was looking for someone who could help me with that. And her name is Bianca. It's one of the people that's now part of the team. And it was just pure coincidence that she was from the Philippines. She couldn't have been for any from any other country.
Right.
And really, to begin with, her task was to do, you know, helping with groceries and pick up, you know, dry cleaning, but whatever it really was. And then we talked about what it did, and it turned out she had a degree in computer science.
Wow.
So it was like, oh, okay, since you have a podcast, since you have a website, perhaps you can help with that. And then we needed a designer. And she said, well, my sister, she's a designer. Perhaps we should consider hiring her. And that's kind of like how it started. So it was really just a coincidence. It was a very fortunate coincidence. I'm really, really happy to have staffing in the Philippines. I know we're going to talk a lot more about that, but it was really just pure coincidence that it all started here.
Wow, fantastic. And kind of infilling or backfilling your knowledge of the Philippines then? Were you aware, you obviously wasn't aware of the sort of outsourcing mecca that the Philippines is. What is your awareness now? You know, and I'm interested in getting the perspectives of people that are very, obviously, you know, successful and informed in the West, but aren't necessarily aware of this opportunity in terms of staffing from the Philippines.
Yeah, I'm really happy you asked that question. I knew very little of the Philippines. It's kind of embarrassing to say, but you know, if you ask me like any details, you know, how many people, languages, I didn't know too much really at the time. And obviously, I've been brushing up a lot ever since. But the now looking at why should one outsource in the Philippines? Why should one do India or other countries? I mean, there are so many good reasons that I'm sure you, Derek, are much more familiar with than I am when it comes to the Philippines, just for ones that, you know, everyone speaks or a lot of people speaks English. It's a huge help. I also want to say culture in general just makes it so much easier. People are, I don't know, it'd probably be wrong to say that they're nicer than in the West, but for a lot of different tasks that you would need in e-commerce or if you're doing things online, it's just much more, it's more suited for the Filipino culture. And I think a lot of people probably go to the Philippines to save cost. And as a business owner, that's what we aim to do. But on a head-to-head basis, I think that the quality that you're getting here from the Philippines is sometimes much better than what I would use to in Denmark.
And it's nice, isn't it? Because, you know, without too much forethought or planning, you stumbled across an opportunity of someone from the Philippines. And then I think the fact that it is a low friction transaction, it's easy to do business with Filipinos, that you've now developed a team here. Yeah? And it's it is amazing, I think, that people are faced with the uncertainty and lack of knowledge of the Philippines. And, you know, business people that explore it are a little bit intimidated by outsourcing, but then once you start, it's very reassuring, and the people here you get are excellent. How has your team evolved since your initial outsourcing?
Yeah, you know, it's been fantastic. You know, the first person we hired back in 2016. As a part-time, and you know, she went full-time. We hired her sister, as I mentioned before, started part-time, then went on full-time. We actually also hired her sister-in-law. Wow. And now we hired another three people here within the past 6 months, and so now there are six people here on the team. And the heart and soul of TIP, our company, is really here in the Philippines. We have a very scalable product. We cater to quite a few people, so we do emphasize a lot on targeting or employing few people, but then have very productive people, and all about making that scale. So yeah, the support is or development, if you like, is here in Manila. The hosts are in the States. I'm the odd one in Denmark that has no relevance whatsoever. But that's how we go. That's how we run the team.
And again, it's a nod to the increasingly globalized society, isn't it? That you're based in Denmark, the other hosts are in the US, the editing and production crew are here in the Philippines, and it's one sort of glorious globalized economy now, isn't it?
It's amazing, yeah.
And do you feel that you're onto a good thing here? And you know, what is your perspective back in Denmark of the awareness of, because fundamentally, you know, outsourcing is kind of pigeonholed, but I suppose the global implication of having more affordable salaries accessible by all of the world, is sort of Denmark aware of this opportunity, or the world generally?
It's such a big question, and I think that more or less everyone in the business world are aware of the power of outsourcing. Whenever they think outsourcing, they do not think the Philippines. I can't speak for everyone whenever I say this, but that would be my best guess. They might be thinking China, even though now China is getting really expensive for a lot of outsourcing. So I think that would have that connotation. That's probably why you go to Asia and have something done. Traditionally, it's been Eastern Europe, which is a lot cheaper in terms of labor than Western Europe. Then it went on to Asia, primarily China, and now it seems like more and more people are looking at Southeast Asia. I do want to say that my impression is that it's very different type of people who would do that. Like production companies might not look 2 months at Southeast Asia just yet.
Mm.
It's more online companies who understand the power of, for instance, having a call center, being able to employ 50, 100 people, whatnot. What I do expect more to happen is that you would have more specialized staff. So really high paying, especially by Filipino standards, high paying, high skilled staff here in the Philippines.
Mm.
I think that's probably what you will see more of than what you see in the past.
Mm. And you're very involved in the financial sector and the investing sector. Do you see an opportunity in the future? Because, you know, outsourcing has predominantly been the sort of lower value task. Do you see that the financial sectors might see this as an opportunity? And of course, with professionals going up the value ladder of getting more and more of the back end financial activities done from the Philippines to support things like funds and, you know, investors.
I wouldn't be surprised. I do think that whenever it comes to finance, it's regulated differently, and I think it's trickier than it is for many other different tasks to outsource. So I do think that a lot of the backbone would still be in the West for something like that, or at least them would have their HQ there and then just do some of the subtasks in the Philippines.
Mm.
Financial sector related to that, probably not the best example of who would go first. That's my impression. You might have a different take. You work with a lot more companies doing that exactly. So I guess that's my take. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so TIP then, which is the Investors Podcast Network, is growing. Do you see that? What has facilitated that? And is the Philippines potentially a catalyst to the successful growth of this business? Do you think it could necessarily have scaled so fast? This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
Oh, yes, and definitely. And the thing is that the reason why we're now hiring more people in the Philippines and we're hiring more people in the States, that really relates to scale, but scale in a different way. Because if we got 10 times as many people listening to our podcast tomorrow, we wouldn't need more staff.
Mm.
Like that's just not how that industry works.
Mm.
So I think that whenever you're looking at a company like ours, for instance, that's starting to develop software, the Philippines is amazing because you can call, I think what they call in the industry is like rockstar programmers.
Right.
You can hire really, really good programmers here in the Philippines. And if you know what you're doing, you can hire really good. So you don't need too many people doing that. So I do think that you will see this shift from not being as intensive in terms of the quantity, even for something as specialized as a programmer, that would be moved to the Philippines, and much more from the West.
Fantastic. And the TIP network then, where do you see the growth? And you have two or three more podcast shows coming live just right now, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, we are recording this here in the early September. Mm. Our first our first show came out in August. We started already back in 2014, but Millennial Investing, our new show, came out in August. We have a show called Silicon Valley that's coming out later here in September. We're setting up another one here in October called The Good Life. So it's very, very helpful to have staff in the Philippines who can help set that up. Mm. And as we go along, we would like to end up hiring more people. But it's for us, it's all about scalability. So we, I guess in that sense, we have a different approach whenever it comes to hiring people in the Philippines.
Mm. Fantastic. And I'm obviously based in the Philippines, but I'm a bit of a podcast addict. And it is amazing now how the world is so connected with a similar vein of knowledge and thought processes. And it seems now that the media is really homogenizing the world, isn't it? Which is very powerful for people here. The podcast world is just getting started in the Philippines. And, you know, I think there's kind of two or three prominent podcast shows now. So it will be really exciting to see that, you know, it grows as everything does. How are you seeing the podcast economy of the world, and where do you see that going in the next 10 years?
Are you referring specifically in terms of the Philippines or just the podcast?
Just the podcast adoption around the world.
Well, I read this stat here recently that only 10% of people using iPhones are listening to podcasts. It's even less with Android.
Wow.
And I think it would be a lot more in the future. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm kind of biased to say that, why people would do that. But whenever we look at the production, it's going to be more and more like TV without pictures. You know, mm-hmm. it's going to be produced better and better. It's going to be more and more specialized. And something like podcasting, as it grows in popularity, it's just perfectly suited for the Philippines. So I do expect and hope also for the Philippines that in the next 5-10 years, you will see a lot of people being employed by larger, typically American podcast companies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, and in terms of more sort of macroeconomic trends, and I'm not sure if you necessarily observe these from value investment sort of thing, but do you see a movement towards globalization, and how that affects the companies that you study? Is it a major thing on the agenda of companies to look out for?
Yeah, definitely. And I think where we saw a lot more blue collar jobs being outsourced before, I think today you see more and more white collar jobs being outsourced. And I think the Philippines would be absolutely amazing. Also, again, I'm going back to the programmers. That's one of the reasons for that. And just one example of how that would be. So, for instance, we back in the day, whenever I say back in the day, we might talking about 5-10 years ago, especially in my industry, the Philippines were notorious for having a really good transcribers, and also it was cheap. Mm. I think that's about to change a lot. So please allow me to elaborate. So just a few years ago, we started to use AI for transcripts, and it was probably like a 60% solution. And in AI, the way it's set up now, it's almost free to use, right? Because it's all just processing power. And it's probably like 60% solution you have, so you can get the rest done in the Philippines at a much lower rate, because now they only need to do the last 40%. Today, we're probably close at like 80%, so the cost has been cut on that. And before too long, we're going to do, at 100%, so everything would just be absolutely perfect, which would unfortunately cut out a lot of Filipinos from employment. But if you look at the market forces, like that's kind of like how you see that. But also for a lot of the more, for something again like programmers, you don't get a good programmer for $100,000 a year in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. He or she would probably be pretty bad if he only charged you $100,000. You can get rockstar programmers, multiples of them, for the same cost. And I do think there would be some sort of convergence, which might unfortunately lead to higher inequality in the Philippines, but where you would see a good portion making considerably more money as you see the globalization continues to unfold. And you see a lot of those people who would do different sorts of blue collar work, however you want to say it, even online, they would now be out of a job because of the way that AI and machine learning has evolved.
Mm-hmm. It is incredible, isn't it? Our AI is kind of creeping up the value ladder, isn't it, really? And there's you gotta keep ahead of the pace just to be able to add value that a computer can't add. But I think that's challenging all of us all around the world, isn't it? You know, and it's a constant march. Interesting. And so you come over here, you visit the Philippines, you feel that it's better to visit your team and be connected to your team?
100%. And I was hitting at this before in terms of, like, I think I look at outsourcing slightly different than most business owners. For us, it's not so much a strategic choice, even though it is a strategic choice. But we think that the staff we have here in the Philippines, they are actually better than what we can get in the West. So even if we look away from the cost component, we're probably looking at more skilled people, just more suited for that those roles. And because we are such a scalable product, it makes so much sense for us, not just because we're nice people, but also to really invest emotionally, personally, in growing the team here in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Because going back to the scalability, if we get 10 times, 100 times as many downloads tomorrow, we don't need to hire more staff, we don't get extra costs. So it makes a lot more sense to invest in the individual employee in the Philippines, sort of like what you've been used to do in the West, and you like outline different type of educational opportunities or whatever it might be to train that person to become even better.
Mm.
I do think we might be some of the, you know, front runners on that, but I do expect that to happen in the future here in the Philippines.
Absolutely. And do you see any strategic advantage being located here in the Philippines as well? It seems like a lot of growth is really happening in the Asia region, the Southeast Asia region, and maybe the, you know, the Europe's and North America, they're the sort of old boys of the economy now. Do you sort of see a lot of growth ahead for Asia?
I do see a lot of growth ahead. I don't necessarily think that for me as a business owner, it makes the biggest difference. There are, of course, different perks that will come with more growth here in Southeast Asia. While it might mean a higher cost, everything else equal, there are also something like the internet. You know, as much as we talk about the Philippines being the best country to outsource to, and I think it is in many ways, the internet connection is just not good. You know, we have issues with the weather. You know, sometimes whenever it rains, the internet cuts out. The power cuts out. You know, so we have all types of problems that you don't necessarily think about whenever you think outsourcing, and you're looking at your Excel sheet and you're looking at cost or whatever it is. But as the region becomes wealthier and wealthier, I do think that we might not be able to do anything about the weather, but we can do a lot of things with that extra money in the Philippines in terms of making it easier to conduct business in the time to come.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because people do get better value here because it is an emerging economy, but then sometimes it is easy to forget that it is an emerging economy, and then it has those restrictions and those issues in terms of internet and traffic and the weather and things like that we face every day. But fantastic. And so, Stig, you know, you are expanding your investor podcast network. Do you see any future for Southeast Asian podcast focusing on items over here?
You know, it's such a good question, and you know the Philippines and basically all of Asia is such a like a small market share for us. You know, the Philippines specifically, it's 0.3% of all our listeners, and the way that podcasting works right now is that it's very difficult to make money in podcasting unless you are in the US.
Mm.
We slowly see some things happening in especially Canada and Australia. I would imagine that the UK would be next.
Mm.
But a listener is not just a listener. You know, it's sort of like whenever you hear, you know, Facebook expanding with 200 million users, you know, last year. Sure, but it's not the most affluent 200 million listeners. And or 200 visitors or whatever it might be, and mm-hmm. and that's sort of like what we talk about here. So if we look at, if we would say, you know, go 10x on the amount of people that would be listening to say our podcast, we would go from 0.3% to 3%, but the rates in the US might still be, call it 10, 20, 30 times as high. So the way it is now, unfortunately, it doesn't make sense for a podcaster to target the market in Southeast Asia at the moment.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, America does remain a very valuable market, doesn't it? And
for sure.
It is amazing how long it takes other markets to catch up. It still very much seems a leader in many spaces, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I do think that there are a few reasons why it might change. I know I keep going back to the AI and machine learning and all, and I think that will be challenged a lot by China. But even, you know, even something like China, that's in many ways a probably better positioned to become the world leader in AI compared to the US, which might, you know, surprise a few people. I would say that the technology is just as good. And even if not, you know, the most important component in something like that, you know, that's the amount of data. And the Chinese, no surprise, just better at collecting data than the Americans. They do have more data available. But you also have some disadvantages in terms of, you know, looking at a country like China in terms of have that catch on. You know, if you look at something like drones, you know, it makes a lot less sense to come up with to work with drones in China, because you have millions, if not tens of millions, people delivering in China. It's a few dollars an hour, if even that much. So that's one of the reasons why there's so much, you know, done when there is drones in the US, because it actually makes sense for them to look more into that. And because you still have this rural influx of employment in Asia, it makes less sense in many ways to lead that wave of technology. AI might be the thing to change that, but I think that's the exception to the rule.
Yeah, it's a good observation, actually. There's not the same need for early adoption of technology here, especially labor-saving technology, especially in the sort of physical trades and things, because there's really excess supply. Whereas I think that AI is marching forward here and is really also having a really significant impact in terms of the outsourcing industry, where they can reduce the highly repetitive mass tasks, you know, maybe by 20% optimization. So it is having an impact here, but certainly, yeah, they're not the early adopters in terms of the physical labor saving things. But so thank you so much, Stig, and I'm so happy to have met you here in the Philippines, and it would be wonderful to see you back here. If anyone wants to catch up with the podcasts that you run, how should they do that?
They can just go to theinvestorspodcast.com, and if they want to shoot me an email directly, it's at stig@theinvestorspodcast.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Derek.
That was Stig Brodersen of the We Study Billionaires podcast. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/263. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.